something that's so appealing, hiding in the chill, a frosty kind of thrill. It's a winter wonderland.
Hello and welcome into episode 45 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise. In this episode, the blather is enough. The textile technique is about counted cross stitch. I have the usual news and hellos, and then we have the drams, featuring a 12-year-old Highland Park single malt. And I'll tell you, of course, about the Me, Me, Me show. All the links are in the show notes that come from where you download this from. So relax, get your links later on. I am sponsoring this for my own business, as ever, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering services. Get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what a crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
Away and sit in for a blather. Enough? Enough of what? I shall give you the definition of enough, which is an adjective. It is adequate for the want or need, sufficient for the purpose or to satisfy desire. You have enough water, noise enough to wake the dead. So, who's been knitting gifts for Christmas or making Christmas cards this year? Who's had snow or been knitting the same line for what seems like weeks? Who's had gales of wind that never seems to be stopping? Who's got a line of things to do as long as your arms? Who's not got all their Christmas shopping done, nor the desire to? Sometimes you think, you know what? I've had enough of this. I don't want to do it anymore. Then you have the choice of persevere, finish what you've started, or stop it altogether. We've had gales and gales of wind recently. I know the north wind doth blow and we shall have snow, but this Caithness girls is just saying, I've had enough of the gales and it's only November, and we're due a stinker of a storm on Friday when we will again have to batten down the hatches. However, this Caithnesian has a wind turbine. And you know what? I don't care if you don't like them. It made me £1,000, 6 months of this year Caithness wind. It makes 2/3 more electricity than I use, and I believe we use a fair bit when I think about it. I'm thankful I have a dishwasher, you probably might hear it tonight, a good washing machine and a good tumble dryer. All three get turned on in the morning along with the radio, the kettle, the computers, the laptop, the MP3 player, the telly for the bairns. So, although I've had enough of picking up the wheelie bins every morning, noon and night, and they are tied down, but they get blown over, I am thankful for the money that we made on the turbine can pay for its installation in the first place. And now Christmas. Yay! In craft-related news, of enough, I have done something this year I have not done since, I think, 1997. I bought all my Christmas cards instead of making them. I have a stamp and the cardstock ready, I just don't have the motivation. I didn't start soon enough in the year and I don't want to be rushing them nor to not enjoy making them. I had had enough of the stress of getting them ready in time and I felt two things. I felt relieved but I also felt really guilty. I do believe that when you get a homemade card sent to you it says that the person has thought enough of you to put the time and the imagination to making you a card. Then they think enough of you to get the glue and the scissors out and the glitter and then thought, I will make you this because I like you. This would be true of gift knitting. I did say months ago that nobody would be getting hand-knitted gifts from me this year, and this again lifted time pressure and stress for me. Last year I had enough of doing it at the last minute, not doing a proper job of it and not enjoying the rest of the holiday run up with the bairns as I was too busy trying to finish off gifts and cards. I had had enough. I again felt guilty, but I also thought, well, I'm spending more time with my bairns and on my bairns, and Sandy now has homework, and Daisy, well, Daisy needs washed down at every opportunity. Do you have some material in your stash that you don't really like, or yarn you'll never use, but you kind of keep moving it about? I say, enough. Shift it on. Make a gift of it to someone who will appreciate it. Also, sometimes giving away something you really like to someone you know will really appreciate it and use it as a hard gift but a satisfactory one. This is a season for giving. Not everyone has money just now and we shall all appreciate what we are given or can give. Just the fact that we can give or get is the appreciation. I should actually now say to those of you that don't celebrate Christmas as I do, happy whatever it is you celebrate. I'm not trying to exclude you, but you know that I am Church of Scotland. And, well, I do. You may say enough and fast forward a wee bit. That's up to you. I often say enough to the bairns when they are getting too loud or boisterous. And I'm stating, yes, you've had fun, but that's your limit and I'm not having you pass over it. As it's the season for overindulging, please try to know your limits. Realise when you've maybe had enough of, well, fun, or food, or alcohol. Enforce the nominated driver. Hello, that's me. Rule, do not drink and drive. I won't be speaking to you if you do. But do have fun, and food, and if you like alcohol, enjoy yourself this holiday season. Just don't let it get too much. Remember, when enough is enough. Stating something is enough is saying that there's a limit to what you will tolerate, whether it is behaviour, food, alcohol, wind, or how we deal with these limits defines us. As for the blether today, I think that's enough. Now, if you need a pee stop, time for the daisy laugh. Craft fairy.
Craft fairy.
I would like to say thank you to Billy Piper for most wonderful gifts. And she was one of those that I was talking about who probably doesn't have enough to give around, but I appreciate it more because she gives it because she can. And also thank you to Susan, it is just what I needed. And also to look at for the yarn that I will be reviewing in the next episode. I am liking how you are sharing your craft fairy stories on the Ravelry thread. Please carry on doing so, and I am trying not to sound like Greedy Louise. One thing I did find on the craft fairy could make use of for us all on Ravelry is when you add something to your queue and it's a paid for pattern, there is a wee tick box that you can use to tick that states add to wish list. And this means that other people on Ravelry could go into your wish list and purchase you the patterns. And I'm not saying that you all have to go into my queue now, but say your mum is on there and she's queued a few patterns. You can now go on there and buy them for her. How nice would that be to send your crafty friends patterns that you know that they want? Ravelry just keeps on giving. I hope that they get craft fairied all they want this Christmas for all the joy that we have had this year from them. So thank you to the Ravelry team. Subliminal message to the falling sheep's husband. Look into the eyes, not around the eyes, into the eyes, and you're under. Santa said Jen could do with a full set of knitting needles. I suggest you buy the best that you can afford, and then she's never going to need any more. It makes economical sense that way. Subliminal message over. And you're back in the room. Hello, section.
Hello.
I'd like to express a very merry hello to all listeners, irrespective of length of time listening. A festive hello to Baking Knitter, Lynn with three N's, K Fine Knits, and Magsus, who've joined the Ravelry group. Magsus is a designer of much worth, so please go in there and bye bye bye. Have you also all seen Shutter Monkey's newest hats? The Saltire Berry was released on St Andrew's Day, and there is a Christmas Tree Berry and a Snowflake Berry. I'm not sure if the Snowflake Berry is the newest, but you've been busy, Shutter Monkey. They would make lovely Christmas presents too. Random hellos to Pugwash Britlet Fan Stormerilla. I can never say your name. Montana Sue and Mad Mum.
Hello.
And also some get well wishes to Daisy Frog, who's had an awful coldy flu. Judith in Holland, we're thinking about you because you're poor cat. Shiny Bees wee Izzy, who's teething. Calpol is just not cutting the mustard. Poor all of you. And some love and hugs to Coggy TM.
Hello.
I had been behind in a few podcasts and I spent the last few days with her loving her knitting in the mitten. And hearing a few voices, I thought, well, hold the phone. I recognise that voice from other podcasts. Knitting in the Fly, Knitting in Bloom. Coggy, Coggy, Coggy. You've had a wee hard time recently. So we're sending you some Daisy and Sandy hugs.
Hello.
There you go.
What's the crack section?
What's a crack section? In work news, we are now very pleased to announce that Energy Hunt has been approved to audit for DNV. And it means now that we are a, almost, triple certified company, approved to be triple certified company. and there's only about two or three in Caithness, and for our size it is fantastic news. Again, much thanks goes to our graduate Stephen and my husband Richard, who have been policy daft the past month. Anti-AP will understand, and those of you in the industry, all others, it's good news. I'm happy. Also in work news, Rip got a call to work in France last week. So off we went, inspected some wind turbines, and whilst it wasn't exotic, it is a brill marketing tool for me. Energy Hunt now works in France. Actually, he has worked over there before, but it wasn't for solely Energy Hunt. It was for a client that we had. The best bit was that their turbines are troubled by ladybirds. I obviously can't and won't tell you who the client was, nor the place, due to not want to grass up a client. But ladybirds and windmills. There you go. There were some brilliant photos as well. Now, remember I said we were going to partake in Dad Dooney Day in Wick? Well, it was fantastic. It was a horrible stormy cold November night with freezing cold strong winds and rain. And who want to go out in that? And no way would I have been out in that, but for Dad Dooney Day. And we wrapped the bairns up in three layers each, took Mum down the town, and we watched the Christmas tree lights being turned on. The bairns got a glow-in-the-dark lightsaber each, which was very cool, and they're both still going. Sandy was sleeping with his like a little teddy the other night. He also had on his plastic Viking hat. And we were hanging around in the market square, and I was wondering, where's these Vikings? Then up the street came three iron and leather-clad men with shields, sheepskins, and a big axe each. They explained that Shetland Jarl Squad were the ones that do all the Viking stuff. The Shetlanders refer to everyone south of Shetland as Dooners. And Da, I think, is a Norse word for the. So it was the South Day. I think that's what he said. Then they put the lights on, obviously, and yay! And we marched over to Bridge Street following them. And then there were about 30 Vikings all dressed in Viking gear. And then there was a great pink light lit up the cold night sky. And their torches were all lit. Great yellow firelight lit up Bridge Street and Wick. We started to march down the street following the Vikings, which were following the Wickpipe band. So the bagpipes were skirling, and the lit torches were firing. Sandy and Daisy were hoisted on our shoulders, and off we marched following them. And when the Jarl Squad got to the bridge, the wind whipped up their torches, and it was brilliant. It was primeval, freezing cold, wet and sodden through, but it was brilliant. The Vikings were all dressed up, the fire torches were going. I thought, imagine in the day, back in the day, and the Vikings got off their boat and that came towards you. Whew, thank goodness we didn't live then. But they marched across the bridge, down River Street past Mackay's Hotel, and there was a wedding dance in full flow. It was raining, cold, cold rain. The wind was whipping our backs and we marched behind them. And it was cool watching them and being part of the community marching down to the harbour. And then they got to the pier about. We couldn't really see anything, and by this time, poor Daisy was freezing. So we marched back over the service bridge, and we watched the Viking boat burn in the riverside of the harbour. And then there were fireworks from the north side of Wick, and the whole of that side of Wick was watching. There was people everywhere, and everybody was Vikinged up. People had Viking helmets with the horns flashing neon. Bairns had loads of flashing neon lightsabers and sticks, and it was great. If you get the chance to watch Up Helia or another Dad Dooney Day, please come back. Please try and make it, because it was fantastic. I did wonder where you buy a Viking longship for burning, but then I believe that the Jarl Squad make them. It was an excellent night's worth of entertainment. Thank you to them. I got a message to say that the hats we knitted for the serving in Afghanistan just now soldiers have been received, and Gingerbread Bun got a thank you letter. I was very pleased to see that they have been received and they are being used for the purpose of keeping our soldiers warm. Stay safe, soldiers types, please. And we salute you. And on that kind of theme, today, the 7th of December, is the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Lest we forget. And on the 14th of December, it marks the 100th anniversary of Roald Amundsen and his team reaching the geographic South Pole, beating Scott of the Antarctic. It was on Frozen Planet this week and I thought, ooh, 100 years. I'll remember that because it's my brother-in-law's birthday on the 14th. Happy birthday, Andrew. Textile technique. Hoopla time. Have you all got your cross face on? Well, this episode I'm taking you all back to the embroidery technique of counted cross stitch. Oh no, cutesy pictures of rabbits and pictures of rose-covered cottages, you say. Well, not anymore. I have got new cross stitch, literal cross stitch, stitch that is so through cross, it's come out the other side. A book that has come to my attention which made me laugh out loud, and I have to share it with you. It is called Subversive Cross Stitch by Julie Jackson. You can get it on Amazon. And it's not a book I don't think my mum should really buy because there's sweary words in it. But it reminded me how much I like doing cross stitch. My crafty journey kind of started there. Although I've always been busy with my hands. My mum was always at her sewing machine or knitting when I was little. And I learned how to do these things. I preferred painting when I was at school. But when I went to university, I saw a girl cross stitching a Garfield picture. Or it might have been Winnie the Pooh. I can't quite remember her name. Never mind the design. But I remember thinking, ooh, I want to try that. So she sent me to John Lewis Haberdashery in the winter of 1993. I started cross-stitching from patterns and kits. And then I got into card making and machine embroidery and lots of other crafty things and the knitting. But I have the most enormous cross-stitch picture in my bedroom wall. I finished it in 1999 because I had dated it. And I love it. I was an avid subscriber to Cross Stitcher magazine. I had a lot of Quick and Easy and Cross Stitch collection. I had Joe Versus book, and now I have many, many pattern books. And I did feel that this technique had its day in the 90s. The patterns are all dated now, and it seems to be a dearth of cutesy teddies and puppies or massively daunting rose-covered cottages. It's also very slow to accomplish anything. Card making is instantaneous, knitting has quite fast results. Cross stitch, it took a few steps backwards and became something we all used to do. But no more, ladies and gents. I was recently asked about it and I am happy to share my knowledge and it resurrected my interest. We are going to make something and we could do one of the sayings, subversive sayings of much sarcasm or love, and you can choose, but I think I'll go for the latter. So you will need a pattern. Most patterns are in grids and each square having a wee symbol for a colour on a key in the pattern. For this here pattern we are going to use, say, black thread, and our symbol would be a round black circle. Some charts are colour coded, most have symbols. If this is the case, it is perfectly normal to colour it in some of the patterns so you can know where you are. Some people like to colour it in after they have completed that section. I like to do it before and I can see where the biggest areas are quicker. You also need a piece of Aida material. Aida material is generally cotton or linen and has an even weave. They are woven in regular square grids. They are referred to by thread counts, as in the more threads there are per inch, the finer the fabric. So an 18 count Aida is finer than a 14. 14 is just grand for our requirements. You also need a needle. We are using Aida and therefore we need a blunt ended needle, and it will go into the wee holies on it easily. It also has a bigger eye as we will be using more than one thread at one time. These range in sizes from 26 being the smallest to 13 being the largest. I think maybe a 16 or an 18 would be about right here. I particularly like the gold plated needles. Apparently you get platinum ones now. They seem to last longer, they run through the material smoother, and they don't rust as easily. Please don't leave your needles in your material for any length of time because they can rust and they can leave a rust stain, thus spoiling your project. Done that. You will need some small, sharp, pointy scissors if you have them. If not, a good sharp pair will suffice. It's the sharp part you need, and be careful. You need a hoop or a frame. You can work without them, but they are supposed to keep the material taut, which in turn keeps the material grain straight and the stitches regular. You're supposed to wrap the inside of your hoop so not to mark the material. I've never done that, but I have also had material marked, so make your own mind up. If you have a small project, use a hoop. If you have a big project, use a frame. And you sew the edges of your material into the frame. For this project, we shall use a hoop. Embroidery threads. Here we shall use stranded cotton. The best makes in Britain are DMC or Anchor. I suggest you use whatever make the pattern tells you to use. All shades have a specific number to them, and they are different for each make. You can swap makes if you need to, but sometimes they don't have to the exact same shade, except black. Black and white are really the only true matches. All others, beware. You can get comparison charts where it tells you what colour can be swapped over in between makes. These threads come wrapped in such a way that you are supposed to be able to find the end, pull out some thread, the length from your fingers to your elbow doubled, and then you snip it, and the wrappers on the thread supposed to keep it together. It's supposed to. I've never managed this, but I have all my threads now wrapped around little cardboard bobbins in a plastic sectioned off case in colour coordination. I think it's about the only thing in my entire craft room that is so well organised. It's very, very easy to get in a fangle with your threads, just as it is with your yarn, so treat them nicely. But you now have a length of thread double the length of your fingers to your elbow, which is deemed to be the most comfortable to stitch, so you're not over-pulling it and not overdoing the stretch. Your pattern will either be rectangular or square. It will have a middle. You start in the middle, not in your belly button. I normally put a needle hole through the middle of the pattern, but you could just put a wee pencil mark. You can use post-it notes to keep your place or magnetic ruler, or just to look at it. What I do is find the middle. And basically, you fold your material in four, put your needle into the middle list of the squares, and then you could do a running tack line up this if you want in white thread. Same thing. You're supposed to, but I don't. So what I do is find the middle of the pattern, and sometimes it calls for the middle square to have a thread on it or to the side of it or the nearest. And also, sometimes there's a biggish area around there which is one colour. I tend to do this first, and then I can use it as my reference for all the colours around it. Sort of starting from the centre of the circle and working your way around. The pattern will tell you how many strands of thread you need to use. Normally, it's two for the cross stitch and one for the outlining black stitch. It may be more or it may be less. Read the pattern a few times to find out all these things out. And you separate the threads by grabbing one and pulling it out. I do suggest that you do them one at a time, and even when you get to two, still separate them and put them back together to take any twists or kinks out. And stranded cotton comes in six threads. I thought it was eight, but no, it's six. That's a dog again. Thread your needle for the beginners, I say knot it. Two strands together at the end. For those more advanced, take one thread and fold in half. Thread so that you have a fold at one side and the cut ends at the other. So you've got the thread on your needle. Take your needle, go through the first hole, leaving the folded end of the thread on the wrong side of the material with the cut ends nearest your needle. Put your needle back through the material, taking all the thread through with it, save the very end which has the folded end on it. So they're both on the wrong side of the material. Then put your needle through the folded end and pull so this secures the thread. You have then got two strands as it asks for, but you don't have a knot. There is a posh way of doing a spare knot and cutting it off, or threading it without a knot and then unravelling it. But you go for whatever you want and however you feel comfortable. But the idea is so that it's not bumpy underneath and you don't see threads come through the material, because it tends to be white material that you use. The stitch of the cross. It is a diagonal cross. Think of a square with a hole in each corner. Take it up through the material on the bottom right, pull your thread through, and then you put the needle back into the top left hole and pull back through. Go to the bottom left hole and pull through all your thread and your needle, and then into your top right. Pull back through. This crosses over the first stitch, and that is one stitch. I'll give you two pieces of advice here. One is for each and every time you put your needle back into the material, that you put your needle through the two strands of thread as you do so, because it keeps your thread straight on your material and it stops the kinks and twists. The second tip is for when you have more than one cross in the area to do. Say we are doing a a line of black. Well, you do all the bottom stitches the same way. And then you go back over the line with the top stitches all going the same way. So you would do bottom right to top lefts all the way along the line. And then you go back over them and do the bottom left to top rights. This keeps the consistency of the stitch nice and even. And if you put the needle through the thread, then your stitching will be flat and even. Just like good King Wenceslas's snow. Both these tips will slow you down a bit, but it makes a big difference when you're looking at it every time after. I know, I have some on my wall in my bedroom, and I spend a lot of time daydreaming looking at them. And the ones I didn't do this on, it annoys me intensely. And if you buy better thread, then they won't fade, by the way. If you work your way through the design with a cross stitch, or stitch that is a cross, and then you get to the end and see if you need to do a back stitch or outline anything. More than often, it is a black outline, and this is when the design pops and it comes to life. Especially with cartoon characters, because I've done quite a few of them in my time. You normally use one thread, I tend to note this. You come up through the bottom left, you go in at the top left. So you're not crossing the stitch, you're going up the side of it. And then you have a needle behind the material, so you go up to the top of the next left stitch. You take your needle through with your thread and you go back to the bottom of that square. So there you've got two lines on top of each other. You may use a bit more thread doing this, or you could do every second side of the line until you reach the end of the line and then come back, missing in every line that you've missed. Like all audio instructions, it will become clear when you have it sitting in front of you. And also, I suggest that you all look up the School of YouTube if you're seriously going to try it. And this was counted cross-stitch. This means that you are counting the even weave to a pattern, either made by yourself or bought. I suggest that it's if you're first time doing this, you go to your haberdashery and ask for help. Get a wee pattern, no bigger than 3-inch square. 5 at a push. Or even buy a cross-stitcher magazine with a wee gift on the front that comes with a pattern, needle, threads and material in a wee size. So that's counted cross-stitch. Done a la Gordon Ramsay.
I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me.
Now for the me show. I've been knitting away on the pie shawl. I was very relieved, understatement, to get to the row 40. And I have to admit, I thought I had about 700 stitches. But you experienced pie shawl knitters will realise, yes, I was on the 576 stitch row line, which is quite a lot less than 700, but it still felt more than enough. 40 rows of that. I then tried to do the lace border that is in the Knitty Almanac book that Lace Maven so kindly sent me so long ago. I even got out some spare yarn and did some swatches from it, and I thought, that's it, and cast it on with the actual shawl. I did it backwards and forced, and then thought, I don't think I'll keep that straight with the lace border, and I didn't understand her button row border. Most of this shawl is plain knitting, and I didn't want anything too lazy. So I trawled around Ravelry on other people's pie shawl projects, and when I found By the Seashore, who is Katie from Cornwall, had made a similar shawl to me, and had made her lace border with written instruction on the project page, I was delighted with this, so I tried a couple of swatches. I think that's the one, and off I went. I had 4 repeats of it when I realised 2 things. 1. She had stated to knit 20 stitches and then do the lace part. I decided to do stocking stitch as this part, but the join was knit 2 together. Now my join was curling back on itself in the way that a stocking stitch edge curls. And the other thing I thought was, I'm not going to have enough yarn to finish this all the way round with 20 stitches and then the lace pattern, so I stopped. At the same time, I had been knitting on a 1-row scarf by the yarn harlot, Stephanie Pearl McVie, with the leftover of my handspun that I had used to make my Lyra hat. I had on 12 stitches, and as it's duper bulky, remember, not super duper bulky, just duper bulky. That's what it says in the script, And I thought, I've made 5 inches and this is not going to be long enough for anything. So, again, I stopped. And it was then I realised I had had enough. Enough of my knitting being wrong. My Lyra hat makes me happy, but it also annoys me that it is not wide enough. And then I decided, I ripped out the knitting. I frogged out the lace border of the shawl back to the start of the border, and I completely ripped out the scarf. It felt good. I didn't go all wheely for the lost time spent knitting both items like I normally do, but I felt relieved that they would both be finished properly. So I started again. I have now finished my one row scarf and I put on 8 stitches and it goes round my neck. Not enough to tie in a knot, but I have a shawl pin and I'm not afraid to use it. And it's great, it's just toasty enough to keep my little neck warm, but not too bulky that makes me feel ugh. And it's just the ticket, it's nice and soft. So I have photos, I just haven't loaded them up. So I will be, I've got quite a lot of photos to load up, so they'll be up quite shortly. Don't call me shortly. I'm 5'3" and proud. Also, I went back to the pie shawl and I have decided I stitched 6 stitches and knit stitch and then start the lace section. So it is sitting quite nicely, it's not curling over. I think I'm going to have enough yarn. And then my mum, I was wheely to my mum. And mum said, oh, I've still got another ball of that, so don't panic. Phew. So I went along to the Caithness Quilters Christmas party day, which was wonderful, last week. I've not managed any meetings recently. And yesterday the snow thwarted my last textile artist of the year. Boo hiss to the snow. It was snow go for me. And the Quilters Party Day is where you take along a wrapped parcel gift worth £7.50 and we play past the parcel. I had bought some red and green fat eighths and some red metallic thread to match. I had wrapped a fat quarter's worth of my own hand-dyed red material with a fancy ribbon. Very badly wrapped it in proper wrapping paper. I'm really bad at wrapping parcels. So we played past the parcel singing Jingle Bells. And then I was the recipient of a box of black and white beads and a fat quarter of some red-brown shot material, where it's red when you look at it one way and brown when it's the other. It's quite pretty. We took it in food to share and I have photos of the spread we had. It was immense. All homemade quiches, meatloaves, salads for mains and the puddings. I can't tell you the calories I consumed. I have photos for you to drool over. There was loads left over and I was sent home with a big chocolate cake. Thank you, Catherine. There was a competition challenge which was called Last Minute. The idea was to make a gift right at the last minute and there were some quite different ideas there. There was picnic blanket with hamper, bottle wrappers, cushion covers, bunting, wall hangings, tea cosies and much more. Now, what won was a cushion for our junior member, Catherine. She had made from leftover materials from furniture shop McKenzie's. In the third place of the, I don't want to say elderly, that's not fair, of the non-junior section was Edna's tea cosy that was made from red furry material like Santa's hat. In second place was Joan's wall hanging with a wee girl putting up her stocking onto the mantelpiece with 5 to 12 on the clock and Santa's feet coming down the chimney. And in first place was Dorothy's Robin Redbreast sitting in a tree. As ever, Dorothy's stitching was exquisite. And I asked her if she had taken apart her puffin and made a robin. I got a scud across the back of my head for that cheek. Also was hanging of everyone's 10-inch squares for celebrating 10 years. I have photographs of all these and we enjoyed putting them together and talking about who did what and why. I liked looking at everybody's buttons too. Some were colour coordinated and some were from the button box that had been used a few times. I know this because the ones my mum had used had, I'm sure I had them on a top when I was little. I certainly used to play with them, that's for sure. There were about 24 squares there, each with its own story of why the maker had made it. And the idea was to encompass everyone's experience of the quilters and what it meant to them. Some had their favourite quilted block, some had a picture scene, some had painted. Some were better, some were others, as the same with all groups. Not much though. All had a story of the block, whether it was the first one they learnt, the last one they learnt, would remind them of the day they spent learning it and the camaraderie of the quilters. We've lost some along the way and gained others, but the club itself carries on and it was nice to step back and celebrate it. I've still not done mine. I did print a piece of material, especially for it, but to actually put it together, Yeah. And the technique of the day was prepared by Bettine Bain, who runs textile art classes for the Pulteney Town People's Project. She doesn't use sewing machines, does Bettine, but she does hand sew or she'll use wallpaper paste, and nothing she does is limited in any shape, form or style. She's been along to our textile art class a few times, but it didn't suit her, so she guest stars occasionally and we try and suck out all our artistic ideas when we do see her. She had us all wet felting wee pots or brooches or pin cushions, and I chose to do brooch for my shawls. I was delighted to see her demonstrate wet felting into a 3D shape using a resist. Sounded awful posh and I had no idea what she meant, but she used a pot, as in like a little vase, and she used a round piece of cardboard as a stopper, which means you don't felt a flat shape, you have a space in between layers. She used Icelandic fleece from the World of Wool shop. She says she's tested quite a few different fleeces and she's found that Icelandic was the best for this type of wet felting. In the morning we wet felted the shapes and in the afternoon we dyed them using acid dyes and her microwave she had taken along with all the materials you required. Now, I was standing in the queue, blathering, for the dyeing and she said, "I'll just put it in the microwave now," and said it. I said, "What microwave?" It then appeared. You know, like the shop you swear, and it wasn't there 1 minute and it was the next and then not the minute after, a la Terry Pratchett. But the day was wonderful and I really enjoyed it. And I now have a couple of felted brooches, which still need some beads and pins on the back. But once I finish them, I thought it would be a nice competition for Christmas for you to get one, because I don't need all of them. So drop me an email to keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com or pop your name onto the Ravelry board with your Christmas greetings as the message. Yes, this is my way of getting Christmas messages from you all. I will then put your name into the random number generator, which is Sandy's Viking hat, and then get the random number generator puller outer, Sandy or Daisy, to pull it out. You have up until the 21st of December 2011 to enter, and I'll announce it on the 22nd when I'm planning to do the next episode. This one here is my Christmas episode, and that one is a review of the year and the New Year party episode. I'm not scheduled the week after, and I've got Oban visiting to do, so this is Christmas. Oh, this is Christmas. And that'll be the New Year party. And that was me. So on to the drams.
The drams.
As ever, if you're no interested in the whiskey tasting, you're not going to miss much else. So, happy Christmas. I was listening to the Nitwits the other night, and the penny dropped. They've been reviewing wine nearly since their beginning. Oops. I didn't consciously copy them because I actually wanted Hubby to do it himself, but he didn't want to, so I'm in there. And it's whiskey, which is completely different to wine. Sort of. Well, it is. Sorry, Nitwits, it wasn't intentional. I don't think they listen, but you never know. I love you. Now, on to the drams.
We're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming, we're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello and welcome to the second instalment of the drams. This episode we're talking about Highland Park and it's aged 12 years, and for those not in the know, it's a single malt whisky distilled in Kirkwall in the island of Orkney over the water from us.
Renowned as the second best whisky in the world.
Is it?
It used to be the first best whisky in the world. It got demoted.
Sorry, Orcadians. We're kind of going to try and stick to the same format as last time, and I'll start with the box. The box is a nice, Richard's modelling it. It's a cardboard tube, and it's a black affair again, and it's very cardboardy looking, but it's highly designed. It's got Celtic Orcadian way of writing and silver writing. And the inside, I noted, it even has the HP logo all the way down. And in the back, it's got the writing with the tasting notes that we kind of wish we had last week, because it tells you how to taste whiskey. But it's not actually all that easy to read it, because it's in grey writing against a black background. Right, so we'll start. I'll hand you over to my taster, Richard.
Okie dokie. Highland Park, otherwise known as, affectionately, HP Sauce, is aged 12 years, and it tells you how to enjoy the Highland Park experience. It says, First, hold your glass to the light and appreciate the clear amber light, then tilt and rotate to see the beads of whiskey appear on the inside of the glass.
Oh, hold on, should we not actually put some whiskey in the
drink? We should, I could just go through this and then...
No, we'll put some, because you need to hear this noise. And this noise. Oh, that doesn't make a good gluggy noise like the last one. Cork back in, and then we put the water in. Well, let's see, so hold it up to the light.
It's much lighter than the last one.
It is.
Almost a yellowy colour. Golden, I would say.
Mine gets something.
Honey.
A kind of yellowy, light honey colour.
And you're supposed to rotate it and get the beads
whiskey
dribbling down the sides of the glass. And the slower they fall, the better the whiskey quality. And, well, that's just slowly running down the glass there.
That's a new one on me, I never knew about that.
Like, slower than molasses in winter time. It's a spiral, as you see ours fall very slowly. Right, next add a wee drop of your water and take 3 long sniffs. I'm assuming that's the whiskey and not the water.
Right, so what do I do now?
You take 3 long sniffs.
Three long sniffs.
The first one, just to get your nose used to the alcohol. The second one, you discover a characteristic honey sweetness.
Well, and there's no coughing from me this week.
And the third is to smell fruits, pineapple, apple and pear.
But it doesn't say about the fruits, pineapple, apple and pear, and the tasty notes above it. And
so,
as far as I was aware,
a surprise.
They didn't grow them in Orkney. Where did they get them from?
Now taste the whiskey by chewing it in your mouth. Chewing it in your mouth.
Mm.
For 4 or 5 seconds, then swallow. The front of your tongue will start to tingle. Well,
yes.
I would if I didn't have so much water in mine.
Yeah.
And after a few seconds, your mouth will go dry, leaving a sweet, gentle, smoky flavour that lingers.
Mm.
What flavours are you getting from yours then?
Well, certainly not pineapple, that's for sure.
Or apple, or pear?
Whiskey. Slightly peaty, but not as peaty as the last one.
Very subtle. That's why it's so nice, subtle flavours. And you've got such a delicate palate as mine.
Oh, fair enough. I'm just not a big whiskey drinker.
Mm.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
Of course I do.
That's Highland Park, aged 12 years.
A uniquely smooth, balanced single malt with a rich, full flavour and a gentle, smoky finish.
Well, I'd say I would agree with the smoky finish then. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a smoky finish to it. I don't think I've not got anything else to say on that.
Well, I could tell them about our pilgrimage to the Highland Park Distillery.
No, tell them.
It's very nice. They took us there and told us about how they do everything the old-fashioned way, and they had a couple of old chuggies using spades to turn over all the hops and stuff, and it's all very oldie worldy. And then in the place, in the big factory next door, they were manufacturing it wholesale. But I'm not cynical, it was still very tasty, and we got to taste a 15 year old malt, I think.
What do you mean wholesale? And
yeah, it's mass produced.
But what do you mean, why are you not why you're cynical? I don't understand.
Well, because I don't believe for one second they've got two guys that make it and turn the barley.
So what makes Highland Park whiskey so special? Because I know you like it.
It's so easy to drink. It just rolls onto the tongue and you get a nice taste of it, and then you swallow it and you get a nice aftertaste, and it's not overpowering. It's just nice and subtle.
Agree. Yeah, I'd agree actually. It is quite a subtle whiskey. It's not too smoky, it's not too peaty. It's Goldilocks.
It's a very sociable drink as well.
It's just right.
Almost right.
Hey, what would be?
Well, you could have an Old Pulteney, which is the number one whiskey in the world.
Now, the reason we're not drinking Old Pulteney is because, and this would be the way we pick the drams, is the price of them in the shop that we are in. And Highland Park was a better price than the Old Pulteney. So when we see Old Pulteney's a good price, then we'll get it.
Bearing in mind, in duty free, I'd have seen Highland Park 15-year-old going for about £43.50. A bottle. And I did see one bottle of malt going for €1,900, which would be, well, just over £1,500.
What was that for?
That was the Chivas Regal, which isn't even a proper malt.
Fancy box on it.
It's a fancy box. I was more interested in the Fidel Castro cigars.
How much were they?
They were €2,650.
What, each?
Euros. No, for the box.
Oh, it is a
That's
fancy
a collector's box,
box
and it's made out of fancy hardwood walnut or something like that.
Well, you obviously get collectors of cigars like you get collectors of whiskey. You know anything about collection of whiskey?
People collect whisky as pension funds.
How? Explain.
Because they're worth, they don't lose their money, their value. Whisky doesn't really lose its value. So people collect the malts as a bit of an insurance pension fund, and the collections are worth thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. But they don't drink them, obviously. They just sort of store them away, and then you can sell them at a later date. Or you can buy barrels. So you can buy a barrel or a bottle from a barrel, and you won't actually see it for 12, 15, 20 odd years until it's bottled out the barrel, and then you get it at a discounted price because you bought it at today's price, but you've got the bottle from into the future. It's an investment. I think that's it. So I just like drinking it. I can't really say I'm that much of an expert or a connoisseur or a collector. I just like drinking it.
That's fair enough. I like using yarn, but I somehow or other managed to collect some. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud. Not on purpose. I am going to use it. I'm not going to keep it for 12 years, that's for sure. Oh, I'm getting looks now. I'll have to explain this one out with the podcast. Is there anything more on Highland Park?
It's an Orkney. No, not really, other than the HP sauce.
So, you know what we never said again?
Slangeva.
Slangeva.
The blah 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 section.
And that's me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope that you're all in good health and fatal. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes, thanks to Belle Fleur for the review there. I thought I'd better say, if you're going to message me, which is nice and I encourage it, please say, if you don't want it mentioned specifically, say please, because I'll be in trouble, because I do tend to mention things. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt and join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there. I am also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers for the embroidery things. And Twitter, I'm Caithness Craft. Oh, and Words with Friends, I'm Caithness Craft there, if you've got an iPad. The music is The Winter Wonderland, or my winter song, as the Sunshine Collective. And you can buy this from musicalley.com. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for listening. A very Merry Christmas to you all. Keep on crafting.
In the air there's a feeling, something that's so appealing, hiding in the chill, a frosty kind of thrill. It's a winter wonderland. Oh, the snow loves the city, changing everything to pretty. Come on out to play for as long as it stays. It's magic in our winter frothy cocoa, here in Fairy Como, singing winter wonderland. If we keep close together, there's nothing cold about the weather. Your dreams will come true and I'll follow them too. Happy in our winter wonderland. Wonderland. Our winter. Slip, slip, slip in snowman falls. Funny puffy clothes, Picasso's drawn on frosty windows. Smiles fill up the street. Nothing else is sweet. It's happiness. You hear the sound of the love. It's all around us. Hear the jingle bells ringing, the sound of little voices singing. A magical season that everyone believes in. It's our winter wonderland. Everyone fills the sidewalks, slipping like a frozen hopscotch. The city's a snow globe. We don't wanna go home. We're playing. Winter wonderland. winter.